omvigyanasya jnananjana shalakaya taksurandhultam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Chayam Rupa Kadamayam Dati Sapadantikam Pancha Kofa Rupyasya Vipa Shindu Vaivacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from the Sun Falls. I don't know if you call it a vacation, but I haven't been in one place for quite a while, doing a lot of traveling. So for a week or two, maybe even a little bit more, I could stay up here and regulate my life and cultivate Krishna consciousness, hopefully in a deeper way. So let's see what we'll do today. I was trying to find my notes. I'm going back to something that I was doing a while back. I'm going to read some things from Jiva Dharma. Jiva Dharma, a book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Amazing book where the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is described in terms of a novel. And it's so ingenious. It takes place a generation just after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when maybe there's one or two of his old associates left. And it describes various people coming to Krishna consciousness. And in that way, all the tattvas, the scientific truths of Krishna consciousness, are expressed as different types of people come to meet these great Babaji's in Gojan Dweep. So a sannyasi comes and you learn the tattva of Bhagavat tattva and the Mayavadi philosophy. As a materialist comes, you learn about Krishna consciousness and science. So many things are there. So it's a very, very beautiful book. So let me read. I don't even have the references where they're from. There were just some notes out. So this is great. At the beginning of creation, aspects of knowledge were expressed to Brahma, the medium of the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam. So at the beginning of creation, Brahma got knowledge, because creation, there's a purpose for the creation, and the purpose of the creation is a field by which one can revive one's original Krishna consciousness. So the most important in creation is the knowledge that comes to creation. When people are suffering the disharmony of non-devotion, devotion is the most harmonious thing to the soul, because what we are is devotees. So what dharma is, dharma are those activities, those choices we make in any situation, the choice that will help move us towards awakening our devotion. So, but there's four categories of knowledge. There's actually three, but one has two categories. So it's great. So Krishna spoke to Brahma four verses. That's the Bhagavatam. And then to make sure that information is understood, then it's expanded in so many ways. Just like Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya, the spiritual master, explained to him that the essence of the Bhagavatam is Nam Kirtan. And sure enough, that's the last verse in the Bhagavatam is Nam Kirtan. And sure enough, when Marge Cricket asked the question, what is the duty of a man who's about to die and what should he not do? The answer is given Nam Kirtan. In fact, Marge's Pritchett's questions are answered right in four of the five verses. It says a few things, and then Sukadeva says, therefore one should chant, hear, remember, and worship Krishna always. So really, the message of the Bhagavatam is very, very simple. But for us to assimilate it properly, other knowledge is required. There's social knowledge. There's spiritual knowledge. There's different forms of understanding. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, what's the purpose of Van Ashram? What's the purpose of social life and occupational life done in the proper way? He said it's to promote mental, physical, and social peace, because without social peace, without physical, mental peace, then what's the question of the higher endeavor of Krishna consciousness? And it's what we experience. I mean, it's such a main question that I receive from people these days, whether they are devotees or yogis, aspiring devotees, is how to become Krishna conscious in the world, because they understand so deeply how the world affects consciousness and how the world impacting consciousness in the wrong way makes spiritual life more difficult. So there's knowledge of how to organize the objects of the senses, the culture, the society, the external, the environment. There's knowledge how that should be organized to facilitate the higher endeavor of Krishna consciousness. So the message is kind of very, very simple. But also doubts have to be cleared also. Remember, Mahamuni gave a good example of the purpose of knowledge. He said, someone can give you directions in New York City how to get from the Bhakti Center to the Empire State Building. But if you don't have comprehensive knowledge of New York, if you make one wrong turn, you're lost and you have no way to get there. So it's similar like that. The knowledge is simple, but if you get lost, there's no way to, you need others. If you get lost in a particular path, you get lost in a particular doubt, you get lost in a particular attachment. We see in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that Gop Kumar, he gets the mantra. The mantra carries him to perfection. The sincere chanting of the mantra reveals one's eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he gets sidetracked, and he experiences, wastes time. He experiences, well, maybe this is the best, maybe that is the best, and he's not satisfied. So our paths go like that. The message is kind of simple, but we need supportive knowledge. Or in one sense, we have to hear again and again until we surrender. Until we have that firm conviction, that firm faith. Faith in what? Faith is the nature of the soul. The nature of the soul is an attraction for God. What is our shraddha? Our faith is a conviction in that nature of the soul, that that is who we are, and that's the highest thing we can attain. Therefore, faith, in one sense, is a budding experience of the soul. And when faith becomes mature, it's the full experience of the soul. So it's very nice. So if someone is qualified as Lord Brahma, then he only needs four verses. So what are the four aspects of knowledge? They're one, Bhagavad Gyan. Transcendental knowledge of the Absolute is Bhagavan. Then Maya Gyan, analytical knowledge of Ishvara's external potency. Because you need to know the relationship of the soul to matter. You need to know the relationship of God to matter, especially when we're situated in this world, in the world of illusion. We have to know that. If we don't know that, we won't understand God. So this knowledge is very, I'm harping on that point again and again and again, that deep knowledge means sambandha gyan, that we have thorough and deep realization of not being the body. We have thorough and deep realization of Krishna is God and our relationship is servant. We have deep realization of God's relationship with the material world, that God is transcendental to the material world, although that's his energy. And someone who has that sambandha gyan, and I was thinking of this today because I study and I read many books. Sometimes people say, speak okay. But sometimes I'm thinking and meditating myself on devotees that are not as scholarly as me, but they have a deeper understanding of sambandha gyan. And therefore, that gives them a profound spiritual intelligence. From that basis, they can understand clearly what is what. So here it is. It's Bhagavad gyan, Maya gyan, and sadhana gyan, the means of attaining realization of the Absolute, and prema, which is the object of attainment. And the object of attainment is, prema means the goal is to experience the Absolute Truth. Experiencing the Absolute Truth is experiencing our relationship with the Absolute Truth, which is love. That's the ultimate reality, is this exchange of God, his Shakti, God and his energies. And energy serves its source. Therefore, the essence of energy is service or love. Therefore, Radha is the Purna Shakti. Radha is the full potency. She has the full capacity to serve. So, very beautiful. I'm in the evening, I'm trying to develop the sadhana. I also was very inspired by Ayendra Prabhu. And meditating on his level of surrender and trying to increase my own. It was a joy going to his room. He had such a subtle... He read so much, really, and had such a subtle understanding of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. That's true. So what I'm trying to do every day is basically at the time where the kirtan would happen in Vrindavan, when he would come down, 6:30. Anyway, sometimes between 5:30 and 6, I try to do 45 minutes of kirtan. I'm here by myself, but I just chant what I know. It's a great way to learn. And I was just reading today. It's just this verse in Bhakti Siddhartha. It said, Sankirtan Kirtan Militva It says Sankirtan, Kirtan, if you compare chanting alone and chanting with others, he said chanting with others, Chatmakar, Vishesh, it gives special feelings of wonderment, special feelings of bliss. It somehow invokes the Lord's mercy in a very special way. So I'm trying to do that. And then, after that, as Prabhupada said, we should always read Krishna book. He said, if you want to be happy, he told Vishal, if you want to be happy, read Krishna book. And it's true. So I'm reading Krishna book. I was reading the Yugala Gita the last few days, Krishna blowing the flute. And I'm seeing things in the page that are just so wonderful that, you know, that I never saw before, but they're there. Like the gopis, of course, Krishna goes to the forest and they begin to glorify Krishna and glorify his flute. And what the flute does is the flute, you know, instruments like that express emotion. So what's Krishna's emotion? It's love for his devotees. So his love for his devotees is expressed through the flute. So I saw something today that's so charming, that Krishna is trying to get the right pitch on his flute. And he hears the bees, and the bees buzz to give him the right pitch on his flute. And he says, excellent, excellent, well done. I have the right pitch. So it's very, very beautiful. You know, and just thinking of in the spiritual world, I gave a lecture when I was with Satchinananda Swami in Croatia on kirtan in the Bhagavatam. And I actually went through the 10th canto to try to demonstrate that the main activity in the spiritual world is Nam Kirtan. Therefore, Nam Kirtan is the best method of Raganuga Bhakti, because Raganuga Bhakti means to follow the passion and attachment of the residents of Vrindavan. So the passion or attachment of the residents of Vrindavan for Krishna is expressed through kirtan. So I went through a day in the life of Krishna. How he goes out to the forest, they go out, the cowherd boys are doing kirtan. And kirtan, they're glorifying Krishna, they're singing his glory. And then I explained that during the day how there's kirtan, how Krishna is appreciating the kirtan of the cowherd boys. And how beautiful it is from the heart. Very expert. Because Krishna is also the music in the spiritual world. Krishna composes. I was reading a gopi describing his flute. Krishna is so such a beautiful playing of the flute. We can't even conceive. You know, they're stunned by the various melodies. We all love a great musician, but imagine how God plays the electric guitar, how God plays the flute, how God plays an instrument. So they're hearing that, and it's not just music, it's Bob, because music expresses the heart, and this is God's heart, it's the love of his devotees. So there's so much emotion in Krishna's flute playing, and it's intricate. His moods are expressed and accompanied by wonderful flute playing that bewilders even the demigods, even the Gandharvas, the planet of the celestial singer. So it's a rich, rich concept of divinity. It's hard to think of a divinity that's devoid of music. It's just such a satisfying theology that the perfection of the spiritual world is opposite of here, But opposite of here doesn't mean nothing. I remember Vasaraj, a scientist, brilliant devotee. He gave a simple example. He says, opposite of what? Opposite of poor is rich. It's not no money. So opposite of this world is a rich world. A rich world that perfectly facilitates loving exchanges. And because everything is facilitating loving exchanges, they're facilitating loving exchanges of Radha and Krishna out of love itself. Everything is bristling. It's budding with a sense of devotion. So it's a rich concept of the absolute truth, and certainly a reasonable one. Certainly a reasonable one. Here's another very sweet thing. It says, the prime consideration is that the name which expresses all of the Supreme Lord's characteristics should give prominence. So there's names of God. There's Vishnu, means that God is all-pervading. But Krishna is personal name. And it means all attractive. Just like in person. They can be called dear, they can be dad, they can be called my son. That's what we are. Is what we are is a person, so our identity is determined by the relationships we have. That's why it's so sad when someone who was in your life dies, not just someone you heard about. And I said, that's why I end this impacting, because Vrindavan is such a part of people's spiritual lives, what to speak of the kirtan that comes from there. And therefore, Ayendra had a place, a prominent place in Prabhu, in so many people's spiritual life. So when you lose someone, that part of you, that aspect of you in relationship to them, you feel that's also lost. You know, you lose your parents, then you lose the sense of being the son, you know? Like my mother is 89 now. There's no sense of her anymore as a daughter. You know, that's gone. Those people that she had that relationship are gone so many years ago. And also wife, because her husband died. So we may have names in relationship to particular relationships. We have names in relationship to particular activities. But Krishna is a name that refers, your personal name refers to everything. And that's the name that should be given prominence. So, interesting. When the bhakta's heart is revealed to the world after his continuous meditation, the image of the Lord's transcendental form is fashioned in this mundane world. The divine form of the Lord, having been reflected in this way by the Mahajans, has become the form of the deity. So there's even a verse in the Bhagavatam. Some people won't even believe this, but actually there's a verse in the Bhagavatam, and it's described in Bhakti Sandarbha, which I studied, that in the Satyayuga, there was no need for deity worship. There were no deities in Satyayuga. Because the deity is a receptacle of the divine manifests. So, previously in Satyayuga, people were so qualified that you can worship others as God in the sense that they were fully manifesting God. But as, what is it, Dwapara Yuga came, or Treta Yuga, the next yuga came, qualities of people diminished. So that type of offering of surrender to God through other people was no longer completely effective, because people became less qualified both as the object of worship and as the subject of worship. There was people more envious, so they couldn't surrender to others, and people more envious, so they weren't qualified to receive that. So therefore the sages established a deity. But how did they establish a deity? That's being explained here. In their meditation, the deity manifests, and then it's fashioned externally. And basically, that's how one should worship a deity now today. At first, there should be love manifest in the heart, and then when that love is manifest in the heart, then the Lord of your heart, you can manifest externally. You can pray and find a deity that's congruent with what's manifest in your heart. Very nice. I don't know what just different notes as I was reading. I recently read the whole thing again. Those who fall under the spell of dogmatism and thereby become sectarian lack the qualities of generosity and munificence. This is why they ridicule and condemn others who do not worship in the same way they do. This is a great mistake on their part. Beautiful. It's so relevant. You fall under the spell of dogmatism and become sectarian, you lose the qualities of generosity and munificence. It's not that you lack a conviction that perhaps within your line is the fullest manifestation of the absolute truth, Krishna. But it's not that others are also not worshiping Krishna in their own way, who are truly spiritual and truly religious. What to speak of someone who worships Krishna but is not in your line of Krishna worship, or someone even in your line but a little bit of a different group. So spell of dogmatism becomes sectarian, lack qualities of generosity and munificence. It said the human society is now running on in a looser way, forgetting its eternal relation with the central cause. Prabhupada was sambandh again, that real deep understanding. I really relish reading his purports. I've gotten a taste, and it's beyond just scholarship. It's associating with that level of depth and realization, and the power in which it's expressed, the core understanding, which has to be in the forefront of our consciousness. Again, there are some people that are not vast scholars, but that core understanding is in the forefront of their consciousness, and therefore they see things clearly. Human society is running illusory, forgetting the eternal relation with the central cause. What we are is in relationship to God. Therefore, if you don't understand God, you don't understand what something is. Because everything is in relation to God. And that's what's happening. It's madness, as there's so many governmental problems. But the real problem is forgetfulness of God in a legitimate way. Not that the answer to all problems is dogmatic religious understanding, but how to connect everything to God. And when that becomes the focus, then life becomes very simple because we see that so many things are superfluous, that are wasting our time and energy and ruining the planet. Just real interesting. The degree of friendship that the Madhya Madhukari establishes with other bhaktas should be in keeping with the degree of advancement in bhakti. The degree of mercy that he bestows upon ignorant depends on the degree of sincerity or foolishness. And the extent which he neglects the inimical depends on the degree of their enmity. But it's interesting, degree of friendship from Madhya Madhukari with other devotees is in keeping with the degree of advancement of bhakti. Anyway, I'm not... Wow. Although the six enemies of lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, and illusion may have departed, the desire for honor remains. The desire for fame is the most pernicious enemy of the Vaishnavas, and it does not easily leave the sadhakas. So this is actually the problem. In practice of Krishna consciousness. Anger, okay. Envy, okay. But the desire for Krishna, for distinction, or honor, that's the core basic material consciousness. Material consciousness is that distinction. And that leads to so many other things. So it's the hardest thing to give up. I know one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, he was passing away, so he had to make the next acharya. He had to make the next acharya. And there were two choices. One was a person who was incredibly learned. I know, because many devotees used to go hear this person speak. And the other was a person who was, I mean, he was learned, but not like the same degree, but he was very humble and sincere. And then before this acharya left, and he was getting close to 100, he named the next acharya. And the other one became so angry with his guru. He became so angry with his guru that even his saintly guru rejected him. Desire for fame. Bhakti is completely independent. Bhakti is the personification of beauty, and she is the supreme ornament. She does not depend on any other good quality. Humility and compassion are not separate qualities, but included within bhakti. So I am the servant of Krishna. I am destined. I have nothing. Krishna is my all in all. The bhakti expressed in attitude is self-humility. So bhakti is humility. Bhakti is from a platform of servant. Bhakti is the platform where one is focused on the desire of the Supreme. The desire of his devotees. Love only comes from a humble platform. So automatically humility comes with devotion. If someone is not humble, then he's lacking devotion. And now he describes how compassion comes from bhakti. The tenderness of the heart experience towards Krishna is known as bhakti. All other jivas are servants of Krishna. And tenderness of the heart towards them is compassion. Therefore, compassion is included within bhakti. So how is compassion included within bhakti? Because it says bhakti is the tenderness of the heart experience towards Krishna. That's what love is. The heart is very soft. It's moved. There's a deep feeling of devotion and love. And therefore, when one has bhakti, it's an emotional state. And there's an expression, a mood of humility that comes out. There's a desire for service that comes out. Tears manifest in true bhakti. And the tenderness of the heart towards Krishna is known as bhakti. That's bhakti. When you're chanting your rounds, when you're performing devotional service, if nothing happens, it's not bhakti. But when it's bhakti, there's a feeling. The feeling of gratitude, the feeling of appreciation, there's a feeling of service, there's a deep feeling of humility. And the appreciation for Krishna is so great that there's a profound sense of unworthiness. Because your love is allowing you to actually understand and experience the glory of God, which is God's reciprocation and love. God opens his heart in relationship to one who loves God. So one experiences that, one feels completely unworthy, and it increases the love because they feel mercy. When you feel undeserving, you feel mercy. So great love is manifest when you have great appreciation and therefore feeling mercy, and there's so much devotion. That's bhakti towards Krishna. And that same tenderness reflected to servants of Krishna, then that's compassion. So compassion is included because it's the same mood of love for Krishna, and then the love becomes reflected to those in relationship to Krishna. And then when those in relationship to Krishna are struggling and suffering, then out of that bhakti for Krishna, which is reflected on the devotees of Krishna naturally, then naturally there's compassion. Anyway, that's about the notes I have for today. I don't know if this, how long this Wednesday class goes, but anybody like to ask a question or say hello? Would anybody like to say hello? Hope I wasn't. I hear some voice. Who's that?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that? People having problems with their switch today. Who's that?
One was Amiya, but I think there was someone else also.
Okay. Anyway, whatever the case is, we can end it today. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Vanchakopa Tarivasaka Kasindu Bhavishakya.